Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witch School's Anyone, Anytime, Anywhere education system is available any place on Earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witch School's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in today. I'm Michael Greywolf, artist, traveler, all-around geek, witch, and a brother initiate, and hopefully soon to be teacher of the Unnamed Path.
And I'm Matthew Sidney, songwriter, storyteller, mystic, and a relatively recent initiate of the Unnamed Path. And you are listening to Walking the Unnamed Path. In this podcast, we discuss the teachings and techniques given to us by the ancestors and laid out by our late founder, Hyperion. We also touch on topics and ideas pertaining to queer pagan men in general. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you'll be part of the show. Call us and chat with us live, 347-308-8222. You can hang out in the chat room or drop us an email at walkingtheunnamedpath@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at walking_theup or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/walkingtheunnamedpath. So, Michael, it's been a week. How have you been?
Yeah, it's been a week. I've been good. Well, other than catching a cold, like right at the beginning of this week, I've been good. But other than that, it's been a good week because I got my tax return in, which I was super excited about. Yeah, I got to register for a Pagan Spirit Gathering and working on stuff for this year's gathering. I'm talking to a couple people. We've moved around a bit over the last few years. We haven't had the altar in Rainbow Camp and kind of want to bring the altar back this year. And I'm working with a couple of other people to try to do that. It's going to be kind of like a bit of an ancestor altar, but not really. One of the reasons why I'm wanting to bring it back is two of our campmates passed away last year. And so, you know, we kind of want to do something to remember them this year.
Yeah.
And, there was something else. What was it? Something else popped in my head. Oh, yes. And I got, what am I trying to say? There was a thing going around the internet not too long ago for submissions for a queer spirituality anthology that a friend of mine, Lee Harrington, is co-editing. And I submitted a paper, or submitted a blurb about the Unnamed Path, and they accepted it, and so now I have until Beltane to actually submit the paper, or the first draft of it.
Cool, that's exciting, wow.
Yeah, so what about you, what have you been up to, Matthew?
Oh boy, it's only been a week. Life, I don't know. I guess spiritually the only news is some of the folks whom I know have
sort of collaborated to create this ritual that's basically an honoring and defense of our land and our people in the face of uncertainty and a lot of the uncertainties that are going around. So kind of there are people all over the world, actually, who planned on starting perform this working, this blessing on this full moon. So some folks locally got together downtown West Palm last night and performed it. I performed it in my sacred space later in the evening when I was able to do so. And the interesting thing about this working, it begins with a meditation to the American goddesses, such as Lady Liberty, and then proceeds from there to creating, using the colors of the rainbow as symbolism, to create these powerful protective blessings on the land, on our natural resources, on our people, on our future, our progeny, and then concludes with a shamanic journey to check in with spirit and get feedback from the spirit world about the working and the results thereof. So I did my thing. I've checked in with some of my local people, and it'll be interesting as more and more people who have performed this working, I think, come together and start comparing notes about what kind of messages they may have received. And I think it is something that is going to be continually performed. So if anybody is interested, you know, reach out to us. You know, they're encouraging people all over the world to participate. And so I'll be happy to share the details. And it's kind of a ritual, I think, that folks have to, you know, you can customize it to your own practice to suit your tradition.
That sounds amazing. Gosh.
Yeah, it felt, you know, it felt good. It felt good. I have to give a shout out to Well Maiden. She is a shaman based in the west coast of Florida, and I've met her personally, and she just has great energy and great insight, and I was honored to participate in her workshop at the Nature Spirit Conference not long ago. And she was really the driving force in putting this together and running interference between the different groups of people all over the country who were contributing ideas to this project. So she really midwifed this. So kudos and shout out to her for doing such an amazing job.
Yeah.
And today we are pleased to welcome Julian Crossan Hill of Querent Queer Spirituality Conference. Julian is a software engineer, writer, artist, and occultist. Julian has been a presenter and facilitator at numerous pagan events over the last couple decades. During his college years, he started the first pagan student union at the University of New Mexico. After moving to Ohio, he served as co-coordinator of Rainbow Camp at Pagan Spirit Gathering. Often using his magical name, Frater Ea, he co-founded Between the Worlds with Michael Lloyd and co-facilitated it for the first 9 years. Having been a third degree in the Ordo Arca Inspirati, moved on to found and serve as the Draco Rex of the Ordo Iternus Vovine, an initiatory order for gay and bi men based on ceremonial magic and Thelema. He facilitated Kofnia through its 4 years. He is the facilitator of Querent and continues students within the OAV. Let's bring Julian onto the air with us.
Hi.
Hey, Julian. Thank you for joining us. Why don't you tell us a little bit about you? What does your spiritual journey look like?
Well, my spiritual journey started out, It really started out in childhood. So, you know, I grew up in Great Britain until the fourth grade near Oxford. And, you know, my parents weren't religious, but my mother was very much spiritual. So she always sort of taught me that, you know, God was in nature and was everywhere. So, you know, in high school, I discovered Wicca and neo-paganism and got very involved in my local community, which at the time I lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I was went regularly to the Beltane events that the Southwest Earth Festival Association put on, you know, volunteered for a number of their different events. And then in college started, you know, the first pagan student union at the University of New Mexico. And in my early 20s, really discovered ceremonial magic and Thelema and the writings of Aleister Crowley, and got involved with an order called the Ordo Arca Inspirati, or the Order of the Arc of Inspiration, which was based in Albuquerque. And so, you know, that's primarily sort of where I've drawn a lot of my inspiration. I still consider myself pagan because I still very, you know, my religious practice tends towards, you know, God and goddess and is still very earth-centered. But my practice leans a lot more towards ceremonial magic, and my philosophical outlook, you know, I definitely draw very heavily on Thelema and a lot of the ideas, you know, in building my sort of magical ethics. So that's kind of, you know, the long circular path that I've taken and sort of what I'm doing now.
Very cool. What is it like, and this is, I'm just thinking this now, hearing you talk about your journey and your experience. I don't know much about Thelema. I have, however, in my youth, read many of Crowley's works, so I have a little bit of a sense of it. And I'm curious, what is Thelema like? What are those practices like when done in a queer positive context, or you know, when done with a predominantly queer group? Is there any difference in the energy or the flow or the meaning behind it?
I think there definitely is. Just like any sort of you know, magical practice, when you are in a group that you're most comfortable with, you know, and obviously being queer, I'm most comfortable around other queer people. I think it does take on a deeper meaning and a strong, the energies sort of change, you know, just like a lot of queer Wiccans are sort of reinterpreting the Great Rite, you know, the central sort of one of the central mysteries of Wicca. You know, we've got things like the Gnostic Mass and the idea of the Scarlet Woman. And, you know, a lot of, even though Crowley himself was bisexual and he definitely did some, you know, queer sex magic, you know, in particularly the Paris workings. You know, a lot of his writing and a lot of the work is very sort of heterocentric. So, you know, the order, you know, Ordo Eternis Bovine is really about reclaiming a lot of those practices and making them more sort of queer centric. And so I think it does take a very different character on when you're working in a queer circle. And I think, you know, to me, it's a lot deeper and a lot stronger. You know, the energies just seem to flow better. I think there's a very different feel towards, you know, sort of hetero energy versus queer energy. And, you know, not that one or the other is better, because I think they're just different sides of the same coin in a lot of ways.
Now, tell us about Clarent.
Okay,
what's happening?
Sure.
When is it happening?
Yeah, so Clarent
and
is...
why?
So Clarent's a queer spirituality conference that we're holding over Easter weekend. So that's April 14th through the 17th. So it's a Friday through a Monday. And we're holding it at the Hyatt Regency in downtown Cincinnati. And sort of, you know, the reason that Clarent has come about is, you know, I've been involved in a lot of queer events for many years. You know, I, as you mentioned, reading my bio, or I was involved in Between the Worlds, which is a gay and bi men's pagan event. Kofnia, which is also gay and bi men. You know, my personal practice, OAV, is a gay and bi men's group. And over the years, I've heard a lot of people sort of say that they wanted something more inclusive. You know, they wanted queer space that wasn't just all male space. And, you know, although we've always been very trans inclusive in my tradition, you know, not every group is. And so we just really started thinking about intersectionality and, you know, bringing the queer community together to really sort of dig into what we're doing. Because, you know, there's a lot of all women's groups that are doing some very cool things. There's a lot of all men's groups. There's, you know, I attend an event a couple times, planning to go back this year, called Camp Out. That's, you know, a trans male event. Primarily, and have always really enjoyed that energy. So, you know, we started talking about, you know, what if we just created queer space, you know, not necessarily male, not necessarily women, just, you know, queer, where gender really didn't matter. It was all about, you know, queer energy. And that's what Queerent's sort of all about and what we're doing. So we kind of modeled it off after Pantheacon. Probably a lot of your listeners are familiar with it. Kind of modeled it after Pantheacon. You know, I had attended for a number of years. I liked the way they did things there, and, you know, we wanted to have workshops and rituals and, you know, a vendor room and do all the kind of things that, you know, I always enjoyed about getting out to Pantheacon. So we kind of modeled it loosely after that, and so that's kind of in a nutshell what we're doing with it.
That's exciting. Now, would you say that this conference is predominantly revolves around paganism, or does it revolve around a broader tent of spiritual perspectives?
I would say that it's broader than paganism. So really, when we came up with the idea of queer and we started talking about it, we really sort of talked about queer spirituality and, you know, and alternative spirituality. So, you know, most of the people that we're familiar with and most of the presenters that are attending come, you know, predominantly from the pagan community. And I think that's just because that's who we knew to reach out to first. But there's also people who are doing a lot of things that are sort of, you know, broader. We've got Trisha Durham, which is active in the Cincinnati area. She does Cincinnati queer yoga. So, you know, her approach is very different. You know, Jackie Smith is, you know, does a lot in the pagan community, but her workshops, actually, you know, she's dealing with the Akashic records and some things that, you know, I think really talk to the New Age community. So, you know, we're really sort of focusing on the idea of queer spirituality and alternative spirituality. So, you know, from whatever tradition, and that's kind of what we're targeting, is to make it more broad and more intersectional.
What are some of the challenges in organizing this and in pulling this together?
Wow. So obviously, you know, doing an event at a hotel, there's obviously the cost factor is a huge challenge. And then just you know, getting the word out is always a challenge, and getting people to sort of invest. And what I mean by invest is more just, you know, more investing the time and taking a chance on a new event. You know, you often hear people say, as an organizer of, you know, having been involved with a lot of events, people say, well, maybe I'll make it next year, or, you know, I'd like to come someday. And what people don't realize is, if you don't support it in the beginning, when maybe it's a little rough and a little rocky, you know, getting off the ground, it might not be there next year. And I think people forget that about all the different pagan festivals that are out there. There's a lot of people doing really cool stuff. And if everybody takes the attitude that, well, maybe next year I'll try it out if it gets off the ground. Well, you know, if everybody does that, it's never going to get off the ground. So I think that's a real challenge. It's just getting people to sort of say, hey, I'm going to take a chance on this. I know it's new and it might not be my thing, but I'm going to give it a try and go check it out. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I'm curious, why over Easter weekend?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. So, you know, one of them is just logistically and practically, you know, the hotels have a hard time selling Easter weekend. And so obviously we can get better pricing, which also makes it more affordable for our attendees. So, you know, we can sort of pass that, the savings that we're getting on. And so it makes it easier for us to get something like this off the ground. In addition, you know, when we were shopping this around to the different cities, one of the Convention and Visitors Bureau people was like, well, you know, I've read your material and I understand your sort of alternative spirituality. So Easter is probably not really a big deal, you know, like, people aren't going to come because of Easter, like if you were, say, a Christian conference. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You know, Easter is not really part of what we do. So, yeah, we could do it over Easter. And so it just kind of, you know, happened that way, as someone suggested that we'd probably get better, you know, better deals from the hotels that way. And it also, we wanted to do something in the spring because, you know, obviously summer is a really hard time to start a festival because there's just already so many really great festivals that people have to be choosy about what they can go to.
Yeah.
And support. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then earlier in the spring, you know, we didn't want to be too close to the holidays because people are coming off the holidays. They've been busy. There's a lot of expense of the holidays. February's got PantheaCon. So we kind of decided, and we try to, you know, I've always tried to, with every event I've done, to avoid things like the equinoxes and the different, you know, holidays that are associated with the different traditions that we're targeting, just because people have their own covens and groups that they're doing things with. So Easter just seemed to fit really well with that.
What's some of the events you have on the program?
Well, our program is still getting fleshed out quite a bit. We're still accepting proposals for presentations through the 28th of February. But so far, we've got Storm Fairy Wolf is doing a number of presentations. He's doing something on fairy. He's doing something with the Peacock God. We've got Devin Hunter is doing he's got a really catchy title for this one. It's called Magical Arts Defense Against Homophobic Arts or something like that. It's a cute title.
That sounds interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
Jackie Smith is doing something on Akashic Records. Karen Martin is doing something on like spiritual crafting. She's doing things with beads, doing like spell beads. And we've got Alaric Albertson's going to do a ritual honoring ancestors. So there's a number of different things going on, a number of different rituals. We've got our vendor room, which is open to the public as well. We do a masked ball on Saturday night. So we've got a DJ and, you know, we're encouraging people to wear costumes and it's, you know, we're selling tickets to just the masked ball so that, you know, the local community can come and attend it and kind of check out some things without committing to coming and going to workshops. So that'll be a fun time. And then one of the things that we're doing that's kind of different that, you know, PantheaCon and some of the others don't do is after our opening ceremony on Friday night, we're actually, the hotel's doing a reception for us in an area they call the Sun Garden. So we're going to have, you know, a little like cash bar and some hors d'oeuvres and kind of have a little reception social mixer for people to just sort of connect. We've got some groups hosting hospitality suites so that, you know, people can learn about different traditions and different groups and they can do their own sort of private rituals and things like that. So there's a lot going on. And then we're right in downtown Cincinnati, which, you know, exciting thing about Cincinnati is they just recently got a new streetcar system. So there's a lot of things that people can also, if they have any downtime, they can get out into the city and see. One of the things that I personally think is fantastic in Cincinnati, I highly recommend attendees check out, is the Underground Railroad Museum that is in Cincinnati. So there's a lot already, and like I said, we're still accepting more proposals. So
with new proposals, do you have any ideas? Is there anything you can throw out there as far as what's on your wish list, what you'd like to see in order to help round out the programming? Maybe we can inspire some of our listeners to put something together.
Absolutely. So we still have a couple of evening ritual slots, and we're always interested in sort of, you know, new and different rituals, you know, different traditions. You know, things that maybe aren't the typical sort of Wiccan ritual. We're always kind of looking for those kinds of things. In fact, the one you described at the opening of the show sounded pretty fantastic. We're also, you know, on workshops, we're sort of looking for some different traditions besides, you know, the ones already represented. You know, we've got ceremonial magic, we've got fairy, we've got a lot of, you know, the those types of traditions, but, you know, we'd love to see things on the Unnamed Path, Brotherhood of Phoenix. You know, there's a lot of these different groups out there. And then we really would love to see a lot more involvement and maybe some workshops from people of color in the queer community and about, you know, their spirituality and how they sort of approach the pagan community, which in my experience tends to be very white, so, and sort of, you know, homogenous in a lot of ways. We absolutely are trying to get more lesbian and women involvement. So those are all things that we definitely would like to see, you know, the program rounding out with.
And are there sponsorship opportunities?
There are lots of sponsorship opportunities. So we do a one of the things that we do as part of our event is we put out a guidebook that has all the schedule and all the programming descriptions and the presenter bios and maps of the hotel and all that kind of thing in it. And it's a full color, you know, glossy sort of magazine style. And so we have advertising opportunities in it. In addition, we're accepting submissions of artwork, poetry, essays, articles, you know, to go in it as well. We have opportunities. We're kind of trying to put together like a little like goodie bag of literature and coupons and whatever for attendees when they register. So we've got opportunities to sponsor, you know, the bags to put your things in the bags. You know, if you're doing a festival, you can, you know, get your literature added to the bag. And then we've got, you know, opportunities to sponsor things like the mass ball and some of the individual events with it during the thing as well. And we will be holding a silent auction. So there's lots of opportunities to sort of donate items to the silent auction and sponsor us in that way.
Where should people go if they're interested and trying to find out more?
Well, they can go. There's lots of ways to get in touch with us. So they can go to www.queerent.org is our website. And from there, we've got, you know, opportunities to contact us for sponsorship, to fill out submission to, you know, submit a proposal, buy tickets. We've got the link to reserve your hotel room. We're also on Facebook. We've got both a page, which is more just sort of our get out the information kind of thing. And then we've also got a group so that people can network, you know, make connections if they need to share a room or looking for roommates for hotel cost sharing. And then the Ordo Eterno Vovin is also on Twitter. We're OAV underscore VOVIN. So that's OA underscore Vovin. So we're on Twitter as well. So, you know, all of those are great ways to get in touch with us.
Cool. Excellent. Excellent. I'm very inspired. I'm going to see, maybe I can move some chess pieces around and attend. We'll see.
That would be fantastic.
I wish I'd known about it longer ago. So I'm really excited that you're doing this. This is the first Queerent conference. Why now?
Well, we actually started this before the election. And so one of the reasons was, you know, I feel like we're kind of at a point in human evolution where the queer community really needs to sort of come together. And we create a lot of artificial divisions amongst ourselves. And, you know, when I came out in, you know, the 80s in college, the queer community, you know, the AIDS epidemic was just sort of, you know, getting under control. We were still losing people and we were a lot more unified. You know, we weren't dividing up into all these little subgroups. We were taking care of our own. We were, you know, pretty united. And we've lost a lot of that. And, you know, and then the other things too, is just on an evolutionary level, you know, there's a lot more people sort of, giving up the idea of binary gender, you know, just sort of exploring a lot of different things. What is gender? What is queerness? What is, you know, beyond just sexuality or sex? And I think it's an exciting time, and it's a good time for a conference like this for people to sort of come together who are exploring these ideas and share them. And then obviously, you know, we actually put this on the books and signed the contracts with the hotels before the election, but then, you know, the election sort of really shook things up too. And to me is a real wake up call to our community that we've got to, you know, stop dividing ourselves into these little groups and pitting ourselves against each other and be united against, you know, really evil in the world. There's no simpler way to put it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Have you noticed more people coming together since the election?
I have. I really have. I think that, you know, I think that the election has been a wake-up call to people. It has energized people. And I was really concerned that the outcome of the election was going to sort of send people into despair, and they were going to sort of, you know, partition off and just sort of, you know, despair over it. And instead, it seems to really energize people to sort of get together to create some momentum and to, you know, resist and get involved in activism. And so one of the reasons that I'm so excited about, one of our presenters, Rich Wandel, is going to actually give a workshop on activism. And Rich has been, you know, involved in early gay rights activism in New York City since the days of Stonewall. You know, he's been part of a lot of the early organizations. He's been on a number of documentaries talking about people involved in the early gay rights movement. And so he's just a fascinating person to sit and listen to because of the history of, you know, the gay rights movement and just really understanding how it all came about and how it needs to keep going. So.
Yeah. Wow. Michael, is it time for our musical break?
Yeah. I can put a song on. Let me
see. All right. We're gonna take a little musical break and so everyone can rest their voices and we'll be back to chat with you shortly. Again, you're listening to Walking the Unnamed Path, and today's guest is Julian Crossan Hill.
And the song we are going to go out to, for a break, is Firebird's Child by S.J. Tucker.
I am the firebird, I am his daughter, I am the firebird's child.
I am the firebird's child.
I am the firebird, I am his daughter. And like the flame, I am wild, 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 wild. I am the firebird. I am his daughter. I am the firebird's child.
I am the firebird's child.
I am the firebird, the boldest song you've ever heard. Join in the dance and make it wild, wild, wild. Join in the dance and make it wild. To see a maiden dance around the fire is not so strange. But fire dances around the limbs of this uncommon maid. Be brave enough to burn, and you'll be brave enough to fly. Join your sister Solace as she lights the morning sky. I am the firebird, I am his daughter. I am the firebird's child.
That was S.J. Tucker, Firebird's Child.
And you are listening to, you're listening to Walking the Unnamed Path. We're, if you're listening live, feel free to give us a call at 347-308-8222. It is February 11th, 2017, and today's guest is Julian Crossan Hill, and he's chatting with us about the Querent Queer Spirituality Conference, among other things. Julian,
yes.
You've been very involved, obviously, for many moons in the community, both the spiritual community and LGBT. In your experience, what unique spiritual needs does the queer community have?
Well, I think one of them is just finding a path that, you know, embraces their queerness. You know, a lot of people get turned off to spirituality because they grow up in mainstream religions that don't accept, you know, LGBT people, and they have a bad experience with mainstream religion. And so they sort of shut down and don't want to talk about or explore spirituality at all. So I think that's one of the needs that our community needs, is just, you know, the visibility of paths that are accepting and empowering for them. I also think that, you know, I've talked a lot about divisiveness in the community and sort of, you know, the fact that we've sort of really fractured as a community, and people are dividing up, you know, by things like body types and ages and races and, you know, genders and gender expression and all these things. And so I think, you know, there's a definite need for seeing us all as sort of one expression of divinity and bringing us all sort of back together, back into, you know, a community that's sort of caring and empowering of one another, and get away from sort of, you know, and I think some of that's driven by, like, you know, the internet, is people feel, you know, we don't have a lot of personal interactions. A lot of people only interact online. And so it's kind of created this sort of isolation within our community. And I think that that's something that, you know, the various spiritual paths certainly can address.
Do you feel like, you know, with technology and the internet, do you feel that more people are engaging their spiritual needs and just through online activities rather than in the 3D meet space?
I think so. I mean, you know, technology is, it's like anything else. It's a tool, and it could be good or bad, and it's definitely got its pros and cons. So it certainly made alternative spiritualities more accessible to people. You know, before, if you didn't have a pagan bookstore, or, you know, your library didn't carry books or something, it was very hard to sort of learn about what was out there and what was available. So I think that that's a good thing that technology has certainly done, is that it's made it more accessible to more people and helped raise awareness of it as an alternative. But I also think that more and more people are just, you know, participating in online forums and things like that, and not going to the festivals, getting involved with covens or groups in their local area, and sort of, you know, going more the solitary path, which, you know, I have no objection to the solitary path, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with the solitary path, but, you know, I think that there's a lot of power when we all sort of come together and share in our spirituality together.
Is there a difference in, and I'm trying to think of the word, a difference in approach or a difference in perspective that you've observed between, let's say, folks who are closer to our age and who, you know, were active in the community before technology was so ubiquitous, and folks who are a little bit younger who've always had social media and have always had that at their fingertips?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think first of all, you know, people my age we're used to sort of we don't necessarily default to just going on the internet when we want to look for something, you know, so it's a very different approach. So, you know, when I got involved in the community, you went to things like, you know, film festivals, or, you know, you went out to the bars, or you went to, there were a lot of, outside of the bars, there were a lot more social events and things that you could go to as an LGBT person and meet other people interested in the same thing. There were things like, you know, film groups, book groups, dinner clubs, you know, different things that people were doing just to bring people together. And I think that, you know, our generation certainly had a lot of those things. And I think that because of that, we sort of are more driven towards the one-on-one personal interaction. And I think it makes us more interested in sort of sharing and listening. Whereas I think sometimes, you know, the technological generation, they sort of, you know, they go look on social media, and if it's not on the internet, you know, it doesn't really exist. So I find, you know, as an event organizer, it's very interesting trying to reach out to different people. You know, you've got to sort of really be marketing to a whole lot of different, different ways in order to reach all the different generations. So, but I do think there's a definite difference there. And unfortunately, I think there's a lot of, distrust in the younger generation of the older generation. And I think that in some ways, the fact that they spend so much time online, that it's so much focused on online and not one-on-one interaction, is that a lot of us we're cut off from the wisdom and experience of the people who've kind of gone before, of our elders. And even our generation a little bit is doing that. You know, obviously the AIDS epidemic, you know, a lot of our elders aren't with us anymore. And so because of that, you know, as a community, we've really been diminished because we've just lost access to all of that experience and wisdom that was available.
Yeah. Yeah. What can you tell us about your experience with Between the Worlds?
Well, Between the Worlds was, you know, it was something that came out of Rainbow Camp at Pagan Spirit Gathering. You know, I was a coordinator of it when it was here in Southern Ohio. And Garen Dew, Michael Lloyd, and I were talking at Rainbow Camp, and somebody said, you know, at one of the Rainbow Camp events, wow, there's such a great energy here. We should have a festival that's just this, you know? And so that's kind of what happened is, you know, Michael and I said, well, let's do that. Let's start a festival just for men, you know, queer men. And we talked to Charlene, who was, you know, I think she was president of the board of Wisteria at the time, and talked about having it there. And she was very supportive and really helped us, you know, get it launched. And so we started it. And it was a lot of learning as we did it, kind of thing. We were pretty connected to Circle at the time. So we had, you know, Selena to ask questions of. We had a lot of, we had some experience being involved in events as coordinators. So we kind of had some of that to draw on. But, you know, it was definitely a sort of learn as you go kind of thing, particularly when it comes to just getting the word out about how do you get people to come to an event. And, you know, for 9 years, you know, we did that. And, you know, the first probably 3 to 5 years were the best because, you know, the event wasn't really big. And as far as staffing, we pretty much were drawing only from our own sort of group or coven. So we had a very small staff trying to do everything. And so it was pretty exhausting, during that time. But, you know, as we grew, more and more people came in and got involved and volunteered to take on different functions, and it kind of grew. And, you know, about, you know, around the time that I left after, you know, the first 9 years, just my own spirituality was kind of changing. And I had started, you know, the OAV had been founded, and I was starting to do things with my own group instead of the Green Fairy Grove. And eventually it just sort of came time that it was like, well, this isn't really the direction that I need to be going anymore. And so I stepped down as a facilitator. But it was always a great, a pretty great gathering. There were a lot of different people that have gone through between the worlds over the years, and I had a lot of great experiences from it. Met a lot of people who've just gone on and been really influential in the community, including Hyperion. I believe he was there 1 year, and then I also knew him a couple of years at Pantheacon as well. But you know, our paths crossed. So, it was definitely a very positive thing just for that sort of getting to know a lot of different people that were doing a lot of really sort of groundbreaking work in queer spirituality.
What have you in organizing these events? What have you learned from some of the pitfalls that you've experienced?
Oh, gosh. Things will never go exactly as planned. always have a plan B. So that's one of the pitfalls. I've also learned, when I was younger and I was a coordinator of Rainbow Camp, I was very much sort of I would say I was arrogant, you know. I was a Thelemite, and it was pretty much my way or the highway, and I was very sort of inflexible, and I was very sort of closed to other ideas. And I think I've learned, I've learned a lot about conflict resolution and about meeting people where they are, and how to sort of be more of a facilitator and less of a leader. And so I think that those are all things that I've learned from sort of the challenges of doing events over the years.
And what are there unique challenges to putting together something for the queer community?
Oh my gosh, yes. So one challenge is it's such a niche. The queer community is 10% of the population, and then the number of them that are interested in spirituality is probably half of that maybe. Already you're marketing to a very small group. So just finding where they're hanging out online, where they're seeing your message to get the word out is, always a huge challenge. And then there's a lot of the same problems that, are occurring in the community for across the board, the idea of ageism, racism, ableism, the idea that, the bears don't want to hang out with the twinks don't want to hang out with the bears, all these kind of like divisions that sort of happen. And then there's a real problem is just getting people to sort of check the bar attitudes at the door and leave the objectification of people behind and just sort of, be open to experience and to meeting people where they are and just being like, you don't have to be interested in sleeping with someone to value their viewpoint and appreciate their spending time with them. So getting people to sort of, do that is always been a challenge. But I would say, the biggest challenge is just, that we're definitely targeting a very small niche, and it's very hard to, get the word out to people and get the broad sort of support going. It's gotten easier in recent years, and that's just, I think because so many people now identify as supporters and allies, and I think there's a lot more people who are sexually fluid who, are comfortable considering themselves queer, even though they might not have identified that way in the past.
What makes a really great spiritual gathering?
Oh, gosh. I think what makes a really great spiritual gathering is when people make lifelong friendships and connections. The workshops are great, the rituals are great, and they're all very moving, and people leave very energized and charged, but you can only sort of ride that high so long, because ultimately it's about your personal day-to-day practice and whether that keeps you energized and charged. But what really makes a great gathering is when people come together and they make connections and they learn new things and they build friendships and they stay in touch beyond that. To me, a hallmark of a great gathering is when you come back the next year and you spend the whole, first couple hours just greeting all of the people that you've missed since last year, and it feels like you never left. That, to me, is a hallmark of a great gathering.
Yeah. So you must be really excited. This is a new baby for you, to speak.
Yes, it is very exciting. It's terrifying as well. This is the first time I've done one that was a hotel event. So there's a huge learning curve to working with a hotel versus working with a campground. So, you know, it's a little terrifying on that perspective. And obviously, you know, there's always the fear of, you know, will people come to it? Will people support it? But it is also very exciting. It's something that I've heard over and over and over again from the community that they really want and that they believe in. And it's really exciting to be in a position to offer that.
Where do you see the Querent Spirituality Conference in, say, 5 years?
Well, hopefully, you know, I'd like to see it grow, you know, I'd like to really see it grow and take off. You know, it's probably a little unrealistic to say I'd like to see it the size of Pantheacon, but honestly, I would. I'd like to see, you know, downtown Cincinnati
sure,
just overwhelmed with, I'd love to see downtown Cincinnati just overwhelmed with pagan queers. You know, that would be fantastic. I'd like to sell out the hotel. You know, as far as I know, our long-term plan is to sort of stay in the same place. We signed a 3-year contract with the Hyatt. So, you know, for the next 3 years, we will be at the Hyatt in Cincinnati. And then, you know, probably at the end of next year, we'll, you know, approach them about negotiating an extension of the contract and see if we can come to some terms that match. The Hyatt's real close to the Duke Energy Center, which is a big conference convention center in Cincinnati. I'd love to see us have to, you know, outgrow the hotel and have to overflow some workshops and rituals and vendor rooms over there. So,
yeah. What advice do you have from, because you've been at this for a long time, and I think maybe with your Thelema background, you have some unique advice do you have for queer men who are just beginning to explore their spirituality?
So my advice would be to try a lot of different things. Don't just latch onto the first thing that you come across because it might not be right for you. So, you know, go to a couple events like Between the Worlds or Queerent, or you can sort of sample some different things and really find a path that speaks to you. So that would be my advice. My other advice would be, you know, get out from behind the keyboard, get out there and network and get involved with some groups, meet some, you know, pagans or spiritual people one-on-one. You know, face to face and talk and listen and, you know, just really do that networking. And it doesn't even have to be queer events, you know, go to Pagan Spirit Gathering, go to Pantheacon. There's a lot of really cool, really accepting people doing some great work, you know, in the greater spiritual community. So.
Now, we have 5 minutes left. We're good on time, but before we ran too far ahead, I wanted to give you a chance to share anything that you wanted to share with our listeners that we might not have covered yet.
Wow, we've covered so much ground. I can't really think of anything that we haven't. I would just, you know, the only thing I would share is we are accepting submissions for our guidebook for Queerent. So if you, you know, want to submit an article, an essay, poetry, artwork, we would absolutely love to and be very honored to receive it. And details on how to do that are on our website. We are still accepting proposals for workshops and rituals, and, you know, definitely encourage your listeners to submit something. And, you know, we certainly would love to, we're hoping for a big crowd. So, you know, we definitely want people to you can reserve hotel rooms online through the Hyatt. It's the link on our website that gives you a group rate that we have for Queerent. And I believe reservations have to be into the hotel by the 15th. So if people are even considering coming, I would recommend reserving your room early. You can always, if something happens and you can't come, you know. And if you're in the local area, you know, Cincinnati, Dayton, Columbus, and want to just come for the day, we will have day passes available that you can buy at the door. So, you know, don't feel like if you miss out at staying at the hotel that you can't be there. We would love to have you come share even a day with us.
Cool. And in case people didn't catch it already, what is the web address?
The website is www.queerent.org, and Queerent is Q-U-E-R-E-N-T, just like the in tarot reading. So kind of a clever play on words there between queer and word meaning seeker. So
cool, very cool. All right, well, I'm gonna get a little personal again. And for you and your spiritual path, your mission, has anything changed for you in terms of what you feel you're called to do, or what you feel inspired to do since the election?
Yes and no. So yes, in that I definitely feel more energized to make my voice heard and to be, you know, more of an activist. The law of Thelema is do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. So I've always sort of believed in individual responsibility and also individual will. So that hasn't really changed, but I'm definitely more aggressive about it. I would also say a wake-up call to me. You know, I'd kind of been happy just sort of doing my own thing and working within my own group. And I think it's certainly been a call for me to get more involved in the greater community again, because I had kind of stepped back from that for a little while.
Well, Julian, I want to thank you so much for coming onto the show. And I also want to thank you for all the work that you're doing with this conference. I'm going to try to see if, maybe I can realign the stars a little bit and be able to make an appearance myself. I would love to be there. Again, I want to thank you, and I want to thank our listeners, and I want to thank Michael. And Michael, I hope your cough gets better soon, very soon.
Yes. I should be better within the next couple of days. So.
Okay, good, good. Good. I've missed your voice. So everyone, you've been listening to Walking the Unnamed Path, and thank you for tuning in. And as always, if you have suggestions for future topics or people you would like us to chat with on the air, feel free to email us or tweet at us or post at us on Facebook. And be blessed and have a magical glorious weekend, and keep shining. We love you.
Yep.
And
thank
Michael
you for being
and
on
Julian,
our show, Julian.
Yeah,
yep.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witchschool's anyone, anytime, anywhere education system is available any place on earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witchschool's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years, and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.